This episode is brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief. Welcome to The Last Storm. My name is Mark Flatt, and I'm calling in from the Pocono Mountains in Pennsylvania. Today, as always, I'm joined by my brother Dave. He's calling in from Maryland at the banks of the Potomac River. Thanks for joining us. Here we go. So, really like this guy, AJ Griffin, man. Really great player. 6'6", 7 foot wingspan. I feel like he's the best player after pick number 5 on the board. I know there's a lot of people that are hating him because of his slow preseason start and college start in the beginning of the year. But, man, he finished really, really strong. He's a big reason why Duke was able to do what they were able to do. I really like him a lot. He's 6'6 and 7 foot wingspan, which, like I said, that's Sam Presti's prototypical type player, right? And then you got the whole aspect of people remind, with the way he plays, reminds people of Jaylen Brown. I think it's well documented that Sam Presti likes Jaylen Brown. I think he tried to get him a couple times. So this is something that I look at and I have to highlight and say, you know, if we end up dropping back to, like, let's say number 7, Mark, you know, and all the players that we really, really liked on the board are gone, and a consolation prize would be considered AJ Griffin, man, I would be pumped. Like, this would be, in my opinion, one of the better players with the upsides that who knows how far he could go. He's 18 years old. You know, he's just that Sam Presti prototypical type player.
Yeah, dude. He's definitely got a lot of game. I think he's someone worth looking at. I haven't, you know, watched him that much. Personally, you know, trying to catch up on him, you know, right now as we talk, but I got my coffee today. I made it extra strong because I'm just happy that we started out talking about basketball and not penis for my weenus, bro.
Yeah, man. That's like once every like year I'm going to come up with a poem, all right?
So you I have a feeling it's going to be more often than that now. I mean, look, I have to admit it. I told you that you can do whatever you want on these podcasts, and I'm not going to edit it. But that took a while for me to get to that level, bro. And now here we are.
Yeah, dude. just apologize to everybody that had to listen to that last time. What you guys didn't know is Mark and I did a first episode. It got deleted, and so we had to go back and do a second episode. So I don't know how the weenus of my penis ended up in there. Penis my weenus. I don't, you know what? I don't know how it ended up in there again, but
I know how it ended up in there, bro, because you said it again. And you know what though? I'm okay with that because in the end, you know what? It's the off season and we all have to do something with our time. So sometimes you have to just talk to your penis.
Oh my God. Anyways, back to AJ Griffin, man. All right. This young man scored 41 points against South Carolina. Just like destroyed him. I watched the game. It was really fucking outstanding. The way he was able to do the things that he was able to do. He scored 11 points in 19 minutes. You know, he just went nuts, man. I love it how he plays. I love the idea of what he does. And to me, I'm sorry, it's a 41 point. He had 19 points in that game, but he had 11 points in 19 minutes. I'm misreading the whole thing there. But the point is of what he's able to do is he's able to step in the game. He's able to play hard defense. He's able to knock down the open shot. And the fact is that because of the way his body is at 6'6", you know, 7 foot wingspan and 222 pounds, you know, he's not an easy person to move around. Sam Presti has proven to like those type of guys. I mean, look at, you know, Dort. You know, you look at some of these other guys that are that stocky. You know, they're not, you know, huge, tall, but they're wide. You know, I think of Isaiah Roby. You know, he's not like Charles Barkley wide, but he's still wide. It makes it difficult for players to go around him. So I look at AJ Griffin and I get that feeling that there's no doubt in my mind that he is on Sam Presti's board. Just where is he? I don't know.
So, look, we talked about Johnny Davis last time, and it was like we both kind of agreed he might be the second best two guard. I think AJ Griffin would make an argument. I don't know.
He's a small forward in college. That's the thing about it.
Right, but like, he's got range at the two, like for to be able to knock down that three. I mean, so I think he can play the two in the NBA, but that's kind of a question. Like, his mechanics are a little bit funky, so yeah. It makes you kind of wonder.
Jaylen Brown, right?
Right. It makes you wonder, can he get a shot off in the NBA? I think he can because his release is still pretty quick. But, like Jaylen Brown is a good comp and upside. I mean, obviously Brown is a little bit bigger, I think. But I think a potential would be like a limitation to his game would be like a Malik Monk. And I like Malik Monk. I really do. I think I've liked him even when he was at Charlotte and it seemed like everybody hated him. But, like, you need players like him. Right. He's probably a better defender. But other than that, I would say, like, his shot kind of reminds me of some of the Kentucky players. Right. That came out that they can really knock down the three. They get to the NBA. They can do it at a dangerous clip. They can play defense and they're going to make paychecks for a long time. Like these guys. I don't know. They have all the tools. But the question is, does he have what it takes to be a star? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think he does, but it comes down to like his fit, I sent you a text message the other day saying, if the Detroit Pistons get the third pick of the first round, they're going Jaden Ivey. Jaden Ivey, in my opinion, is a first perfect pit for what Detroit's trying to do right there. So I don't think Jaden Ivey goes past number three. So then again, we're looking at, where are we talking about? Number four, if we end up there. Like, this is another one of those guys that if we drop back in the draft, man, we have to take a chance at him. Because does he have the upside to be an all-star? Does he have an upside to be a playmaker like that? Yes. I mean, I wouldn't say he has more of an upside than Shaden does. But the thing is that can you really tell at this young of age, these two young players like this right here? They're both 18 years old. And I look at them like, man... Like where do you value them? I mean, where do you value shooters versus defenders versus maybe one of the best scorers that have come out of college who didn't play college basketball in a while? Like, I don't know, man. Like, that's the thing we've talked about so many times. It's mind-boggling to me how many guys really truly fit in this system. And it's like Sam Presti. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong here, but maybe I feel like Sam Presti really focused on this draft and making sure that players will fit that we pick. And listen, we could go center because we got Duran out there, right? Duran is not that bad. He played for Memphis. He's a 7-foot shooter. He could play center or power forward. I mean, that's the thing about it is that there's not a bad pick 1 through 12 here for us. And I know that it's going to be like, oh no. If we went and got, if we went and got Shaden and Keegan Murray, then that would be a horrible draft. And I understand what people will say. Like, to me, I look at this team, this draft more so as a building blocks for the future. Shaden Sharp does that for me. Jaden does that for me. AJ Griffin does that for me. Chet, Paolo, Jabari, like all of them do it for me. You know what I'm saying, Mark? There's none of these guys that we've gone through that I can say, no, that just doesn't fit the system. In fact, it's more so Jaden Ivey. The more I look into it and I see how he plays, I'm like, ooh, he fits in Detroit. And that is like, fuck, that means we're going to miss out on Jaden Ivey. But that means we could hit with Jabari Smith or Paolo instead. And to me, like there's no wrong like way of going here. I mean, yeah, we can make a horrible pick here and then we look back and be like, oh, that was a shitty pick. But the reality, Mark, is I don't think that's going to happen. I think this is a whole new thing.
Dude, I love it when your text message goes off because I know, like, everybody who's listening with an iPhone is, like, checking their phones right now.
I know, right? I do the same thing. And when I listen back to it, I'm like, oh, shit. Like, what's up?
What the fuck? Dude. But, yeah, dude, I'm with you. Like, here's the thing about AJ, right? Like, he's got an NBA ready body, right? And sometimes you wonder if they've been NBA ready since high school, right? Like, as far as like physicality, do they have fire? Like, there's always those players that have all the tools, but they can't make it work. But then all of a sudden you start noticing, like, that guy, you know, shot 45% from the 3-point line. Like, that's crazy, man. Like, if he can carry anything near 40% to the league with him, like, there are so many teams that would be all about this guy. Every team in the fucking league would be all about this guy. So that's, I mean, you wonder, like, his ceiling is really high. You know, you wonder where his floor is, but the more you watch of him, you can't help but think about, like, his ceiling, because, like, he's got the perfect size, the perfect age, the perfect tools. I don't know, man. Like, I've watched a lot of guys, and it's all about, in the end, like, where our pick is and what value we have. You know, like, is there going to be a chance for us to trade back at some points and get maybe a couple of these guys? But, like, the idea that this guy would fall outside of the top 10, I don't think that exists. So, you know, he'd have to be our first pick probably, and not our second pick, depending on where that second pick falls.
Exactly. And again, I'm looking at him as, I call it a constellation prize, because if we drop that far back in the draft from 4 to 7, like, to me, this is a big pickup, you know? And then the other one I want to throw out there is, like, I don't think there's any possibility that we drop back from 12 to 14, but I think there's possibilities. I guess there is if 13 and 14 jump and go in the top, you know, 10 or whatever, or top 5, I think it would happen. Yeah, we move back. But the worst case scenario, we move back to 13. Okay, Mark? If we move back to 13, I had to look at it because, again, there might be the players that we like might not be on board. Jeremy, I want to say his name is Shohan, right? I could be wrong with that. It's S-O-C.
Yeah, from Baylor.
What? Yeah, he played for Baylor, 6'10", 7-foot wingspan. I really like him. He played, came off the bench. You know, he's one of those guys that I look at as another project player. But his upside is more like an Iggy out there, you know, Iguodala. Like, man, he has that it factor in so many ways that if he learns how to play with a motor like Iggy and he learns how to hit down that knockdown shot, like, he could really be an unbelievable player. His defense is truly spectacular. I really like the way that he plays. The way that he was in the tournament this year was great. To be honest, he's one of those guys that I would say if we drop back a pick and we missed some of the guys that we really liked at 12 that we should have been able to get that aren't there, then I look at Jeremy as one of those guys that I'd be like, man, this guy has huge upside and just needs a couple years to develop and he'll be there.
Dude, very cool. I have not watched him play yet. Definitely the right age, right? At 18, he was born in Guymon, Oklahoma, apparently, is what I just read. So that's a connection that we're big fans of.
Oklahoma born, bro.
Right. So, like, I think this guy has a lot of, like, the things that we like. He's the type of player that we see get really into the G League, right? Figure out how to play their game, and then all of a sudden they come up and people start asking, like, how do we know that this guy was a diamond in the rough? And it's like, because we believe in our system. And
you think he has, like, the Ibaka ability? Like, that's, I look at Sam Presti still looking for that big four, great defender, you know what I'm saying, that can stretch out in that corner. I look at Jeremy as being somebody that would be, in my opinion, intriguing to Sam Presti.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about Ibaka, right? But that's just because I haven't seen enough to have any clue. But I would say, like, what really surprises me about, like, his game is how much misdirection he uses for his size, right? And you would think a player like his size would have trouble with certain elements of the game from a ball handling perspective. But I think the guy that I would like to compare him to, Argentinian player who got a number of years in the NBA, bro. He played for the Rockets. What's his name, bro? I know. I shouldn't do this to you, bro. But anyway.
I'll think of it later.
Yeah, we'll think of it later, bro. So But yeah, he has like a almost a European style of play about him. And I know Argentina is in South America, so like it's a style of play where you understand your role. You can play multiple positions. You can put the ball on the floor. You can make the pass, and you can play that five because you're long and athletic. But you can also pop and shoot that three, right? That's what we call a European big. And there's a history of those types of players doing really well in the NBA. And I think that if we don't get him, I would see a team like maybe the Milwaukee Bucks, if they had the pick to type go get him, because he's the type of player you see that would fit in a system like that, or maybe the Toronto Raptors, right? They like to get diamonds in the rough and develop them who have really high potential.
Yeah, man. And there's a lot of reasons to like this young man. I think he was born in Poland, if I'm not mistaken. And to me, the way that he goes about, I watched a couple film on him, 16 and under, really impressive. When he was playing for Poland a couple weeks ago, the thing about it is that you see this young man in 2018 and then 2019, and you see that he gained 3 inches in size and, you know, a significant arms growth there as well. You see that and you're like, okay, this young man at 16 just got to 6'10". So a lot of these guys that are coming out, you see them at 6'10", and they've been 6'10" for, you know, 4 or 5 years, but Jeremy has only been there for a couple years now. So he's still trying to figure out his body. And I think that's why you have to look at him. The other thing you have to look at too is that his positional rank, he's ranked 5th in as far as power forward at 14. Okay. So on a typical year, that means that on a power forward, we're going to have 2 or 3 in the top 10. That's where I have to say is if this was a typical year where we wouldn't have 4 power forwards ahead of him, he could be a top 10 player. At 14. And we're going to see a lot of these power forwards that are going to be, you know, the 7th ranked or even 8th ranked power forward that all of a sudden come out and have all-star like numbers after a couple of years. So I look at Jeremy as being one of those candidates, because the reality is that if this was a different draft, he would be way up that board because of his potential, no doubt.
Yeah. And so offensively, the guy I was thinking about, Luis Scola, right? I think he's got a little bit of Scola to him, but defensively, you're right. Like, he's got the ability to be like a serious shot blocker, long arms, and he uses his athleticism. He gets low, so he's able to move with the guards, and then he still has his, you know, his hops, and he can get up there and get the ball. So, I mean, he's got a lot of ability. He just turned 18. He's about to turn 19. Okay, there you go. He's about to turn 19. So he's within that range where he's going to be 19 for all of his rookie year. We love those guys. And, you know, he's a bit of a project, but I think that's what we're looking for, right? We're not looking for the complete player. So there are a couple of guys that we've watched that are in that 6'10 range already, who have the ability to play on the perimeter, who can get downhill, who can pop that three and really, you know, work defenses over. I think he's definitely one of those guys. He, you know, he's going to be listed at power forward, but in a big way, his game speaks to me of a small forward, right? Like, he could maybe make that transition. Defensively, he can still play the bigger player, but offensively, when he's on the perimeter, he's not like looking for a guard to come get the ball from him, right? He's going to take an attack. He's going to play any position he is at, like from an offensive trying to attack mode. So that's not normal to see from an underdeveloped big man. Normally they feel like uncomfortable in all sorts of situations. Like Ibaka, where could you give Ibaka the ball when he first came up that he felt comfortable in? You know what I mean? There was no place he really felt good. It took him years to like perfect his craft. He was great at defense, but this guy's got a little bit of that defensive flair, but also already a developed and polished, offensive game.
Yeah, he does. I mean, here's the thing. He played 25 minutes a game. He got injured at the end of the season. Coming off the bench, he averaged 9.2 points a game, 1.3 steals, and 0.7 blocks, right? Throw in there his 1.8 assists, which is impressive to me, and 6.4 rebounds. You know what? Like, here's the thing. If he played next year, he'd be a top 5 pick in the league. And I think that's the thing that I have to look at is because, you know, you look at these type of athletes that come in, you know, as a freshman, and Baylor is stocked with young men that are ready to go into the NBA that are, you know, are good for college basketball, and they're trying to win a championship. So, of course, they're going to play, you know, juniors and seniors over this young man because the reality is that he had a slow start of the year. So I look at what he's been able to do this year and I say, okay, next year, if he averaged 16 points a game, no doubt, or even 17 points a game, whatever, there's no doubt in my mind that he would be a top five pick coming out. And that's why you look at it and saying, okay, do you take a chance at this young man? And I have to say, hell yeah. Like, any of these guys that we keep on looking at, like, some of them, it's like, okay, they need a couple years. But the thing is that what people, like, people want to have players that are playing right now. What they don't realize sometimes is that the fact is, by having two players in the top 12 means that we can pick a player that's ready to play now and then the best project player on the board at 12. It's simple as that. You know, like that's what we need to be able to look at. Like, yeah, you know what? I would love to be able to have two players coming in and playing right away. But I look at it like, man, having Jeremy play a year in G League and at 20 coming out and playing the next year, you know, it's giving us an extra top 10 pick. And I think that's the way to look at it.
So for me, like, his biggest attribute is his fluidity on offense, on the perimeter, to be able to shoot the three or attack. What do you think his biggest attribute is?
Defense, man. Like, he's going to go out there and he's going to take the center assignment on defense. He's going to take the power forward assignment. He's going to take the small forward assignment. Like, this guy will go all across the board for you. He's not going to just stop and be like, oh, I'm comfortable with taking the weaker guy. I mean, he's 6'10", 7-foot wingspan, and 230 pounds as of now. He's going to put some weight on before the draft time comes, and it's going to be bulk. And that's what I'm looking at. If he starts the season at 235 at 6'10", like, he is a big dude. And that's somebody that you have to seriously look at is, you know, another big body out there. If he can switch to three different positions because of his foot speed, the way that he blocks the ball, the way that he steals it, like the way that he understands defense, to me, automatically puts him in that category of, all right, he figures out the defense. That's fine. His offense will come. And that's why you spend time in the G League with him. You know, like, that's it. You know, like, this guy has what it takes to start off right now in the NBA on defense, and he's good.
Yeah, I mean, and you mix that with offensive upside, and definitely could be talking about a top 10 draft pick in a normal draft. In this type of draft, you know, the fact that we haven't seen much of him, you know, we have some college basketball video, but like you mentioned earlier, he came off the bench. So, like, there's a big mystery factor to him. And it kind of plays into our advantage. One of those guys, like, I know Steven Adams started, but I didn't know anything about Steven Adams when we drafted him. Like, there wasn't enough there, you know, for the average fan to be like, oh, yeah, he's going to be a lottery pick, right? And that's what, you know, there's a question here. You know, have we seen enough? Are we just drafting based on potential? And that's kind of where we're at anyway. So it's a fascinating thing. I like what you see here. You know, we've got all sorts of options with as many picks as we have. And you've said multiple times, you don't think we're going to use that 30th pick. We're going to go ahead and find a way to turn that, you know, into more second rounders or trade up, something like that. So it'll be fascinating what happens. But yeah, I mean, who knows, bro? Who knows?
Yeah, and I could be wrong with that 30th pick. But to me, like, the fact is that we got the 34th pick, which is the fourth pick in the second round. These are the things that I look at and I circle and say, okay, Sam Presti would probably rather a second round pick that's a very good second round pick than a first rounder, because a first rounder is a guaranteed contract at, you know, blank. Whereas a second rounder, you can do, you know, your two-way contracts to start off with, or even give him a fully guaranteed contract at $2 million a year, which is much, much less than that first rounder. And again, it's all about that guaranteed contract. And there's always a team that's willing to cough up, you know, a future first round and a second rounder to get the player that they want so they can jump, you know, the second round. And that's the type of spot that we want to be in. Or we want to be in a spot to package 30 and 12 to a team that is needing more players, like maybe like Sacramento at 8, you know, and being able to move up, or wherever Sacramento's at, but be able to move up into that top, you know, 10 again for a second pick. So I could see things like that happening, Mark, for sure. I just think that it's one of those things where, you know, it's just going to take, first of all, next 2 weeks, we'll find out where the picks that we have are. And then we won't find out until draft night what the fuck's going on, because, you know, honestly, like, it's all speculation at this point. And there's so many guys on the board that we truly like that it's like, okay, this guy, this guy, this guy. I mean, we have our favorites, you know, and we'll talk about those guys in the next podcast, but one of these podcasts coming up. But the reality, though, is that as we're looking into it and as we're getting deeper in this draft, we're seeing there's a lot of power forwards, or even just forwards across the board, that are going unrecognized. And the reason they're going unrecognized is because of the four or even five forwards ahead of them, forwards and centers ahead of them. And I think that's the thing about it, is because of that, we could find more value in the picks like in 16, 18, someplace around there. Sam Presti could be like, I need to get two guys that are the future big men slash power forwards of this league, and I need to get them at the teens, because that's where the value is going to be at. And again, these are all things that Sam Presti is going to have to evaluate and take a look at, and we will too. But man, this draft class is really nice. It's special. It really highlights all the things that the Oklahoma City Thunder love to do. And I, you know what? I think we're going to pick up one player that is really going to make like that it factor of pushing us over the edge of not just making it to the playoffs, but skipping the whole play-in opportunity, which would be great.
For sure. It's going to be fascinating. And, you know, we're getting closer to that draft lottery, and that's exciting. I mean, shit, bro, 13 days away. And, you know, so that's just a few more episodes. So we're going to keep at it, you know, with kind of projecting all around the different draft picks that we have, and kind of clarify a little bit of what we think we might do just based on, you know, kind of the values we've seen the team pick with in the past. So from that, you know, we'll get to really narrow in onto the draft. But after the draft, bro, like, which is a month after the lottery, right, we go right into the summer league. So we're going to get a good look at some of these guys, like, immediately, which is a pretty cool thing.
Well, we think that, but last year we saw Josh Giddey for, what, 6 minutes?
Yeah, and Trey Mann didn't end up going.
There you go.
Or he left right away, but anyway.
We saw JRE, though.
We saw him, and, you know, we got to – everything we saw about him in the season was fucking awesome. So I imagine he's going to be – yeah, he's going to be ready to play. You know, it's going to be a fun season coming up. But, you know, right now we're at that fun stage where we get to, you know, kind of project who we think we might add to the team. And more than likely, we're going to miss, you know, a couple of players that end up are really high on Sam Presti's list, because I don't know, man, the way that they end up, you know, ranking things and going after, it's pretty special. You know, it's one of those things where as soon as the draft is over, you're watching as much video as you can, and you're trying to figure out what they saw, because obviously they don't do it, you know, things for no reason. So, you know, what is that? What are those reasons? And that's what, you know, we like to look at.
Yeah, we really do. And one of the things that I'm really kind of interested in is, you know, James Harden refused to sign an extension, right? He's not playing very well in Houston, or in the 76ers. Is he going to get, you know, is he going to lose $200 million because of that? You know, Russ, where is he going to go? Bradley Beal, Kyrie Irving, you know, Gary Harris is coming up on his, he's an unrestricted free agent, right? Like, John Wall has a player option, but, you know, he's going to pick that up in a heartbeat because he's not going to be able to make $42.5 million anywhere else right now. So, you know, Thaddeus Young, Andre Iguodala, Zach LaVine, Tayron Prince, there's all these players that are coming up that are free agents. I don't necessarily think that the Oklahoma City Thunder are going to go out and get any free agents unless there's a player that's like, hey, I need to start my career. I need to have something that's going to help me out this year, for this, you know, following year. I need you guys to help me out. You know, I could see somebody like that, Montrezl Harrell, or somebody like that, that needs to have a reset to help them reestablish their names, recognizing that Oklahoma City could make it to the playoffs. Robert Covington is another player I really like that would be kind of cool. But these guys are all in that position where they could end up you know, making a decision to come to Oklahoma City to help their names out, you know, picking up 15 minutes a game. And why that's important is that these awesome veterans that have been coming over that we get to see, Derek Favors, Al Horford, Chris Paul, list goes on and on and on. These guys come in and they change the trajectory of certain players that are in our system. You know, they teach these certain players how to take their game to the next level. We saw it with Shea and Chris Paul, you know. We saw it with Derek Favors, or Isaiah Roby and Al Horford, you know. And Derek Favors had a huge impact on Poku at the center position this year. So these are the guys that we're looking at, and we're saying, okay, if we have this veteran to help us out, it's going to make our team better. But going out and getting a veteran like that doesn't happen unless that veteran truly wants to come play for the Oklahoma City Thunder. And I think that Sam Presti has made it one of those places where players love to come and play. They come and play, they fall in love with the system, and they want to stay in Oklahoma City the rest of their lives. We've seen so many players say that and actually live it. They'll sign long contracts that are team friendly so that they can stay in Oklahoma City. I love it, man. This is exactly where we need to be at this moment. And looking at what we have in front of us right here, man, there could be some serious pick up a player that needs to reestablish his career, and we could really help this team do some great things.
Yeah, dude, for sure. And I think about a couple of the guys like as good examples, but you know, some of the guys that I think about didn't end up playing for the team, like Kemba Walker, Austin Rivers. You know, they end up not wanting to play for us, or us not wanting them for us. But either way, we help them get to the right spot. But, you know, you talk about Al Horford, we got a pick that could be really juicy, you know, from the Sixers for taking him. And then I believe we got a pick from the Celtics, right? Whenever we traded, you know, Horford back and got Walker. Like, that's the type of wheeling and dealing we like to see. Like,
we got that pick last year. Celtics pick last year. That was the 18th pick, I think, or 16th pick or whatever.
Okay. So, yeah. So, you know, obviously that's a situation where, you know, we added to our war chest, and that's what we're trying to do. And then what we did last year at the draft, right? We ended up trading two picks in the first round to get two in the future first round, right? With, I think, our 18th pick or 16th pick. Either way, that's what we ended up doing. And then as the draft went on, we also ended up trading two picks to move up and to grab JRE, right? So we had this kind of attitude of like, we're looking to add to our war chest. We might even, you know, do two for one in a situation in the second round. But other than that, we're like trying to add to it in every situation. And I think that's kind of an intriguing situation to be in. I think a lot of people think Presti's always willing to trade anything for a pick. But in reality, like, he's willing to be there to help teams figure out their situations, you know, for a pick. He's not going out of his way to find those situations. They pop up naturally throughout the league year, and that's where he's a wheeler and dealer. And that's kind of a little bit different than people perceive him. And if you look at what the Thunder might look like after Presti, I don't think we're going to be the team that's, like, making the biggest splashes on draft day, you know, making huge deals that, you know, kind of like shock everybody. We're the type of team that methodically adds things. And then what we do with those things is always try to multiply them into more. So it's a long-term approach.
Yeah. And if you look at, as an example, Kenny Hustle, like there's a lot of people that said that we could not get a first round pick for Kenny Hustle, where I totally disagree, because it would be typically a late first round pick for a championship caliber team we would have got for Kenny Hustle. And people are like, oh, we wouldn't get that. But we would have if we wanted to. What people didn't realize is Kenny wanted to stay in Oklahoma City. That doesn't mean that that's going to be forever. But we see when players have made it clear that they want to stay in Oklahoma City, Sam Presti keeps them, you know, as long as he possibly can. I think that's a perfect example of where this team is going and what they're trying to accomplish, is that the community that they've built in that locker room is really, really powerful. And I love it, man. I get really excited about the possibility that in the next, I don't know, 5 years, we could be hoisting up a banner, whether it's the Western Conference championship that we are hosting up there, or it's our first ring as an Oklahoma City Thunder team. Like, that's where we're at. Like, there's a really powerful movement happening in the NBA. And, you know, we saw it last night with the small ball that was happening with the Golden State and how Ja just tore him apart for like 47 points because there's no big man out there. Listen, that's going to be what the case is for a very long time in the NBA. Sure, there'll be teams that will be able to stop that penetration, but the reality is that the where the NBA is going is attack, tack, tack, tack. And I look at Shai, I look at Josh Giddey, I look at Dort, I look at these other guys that are around, the players of what we've got, and we've got the perfect team to attack the hole for teams that don't have big men or slow big men. And that's where we're going to really be able to capitalize as everything keeps on progressing. And man, I am so fucking pumped about this. This is next level shit where this Oklahoma City Thunder are headed right now. I know there's a lot of people that are saying, you know, hold your horses. You know, we still got more draft picks and a couple more years of stuff. No, but this is our last draft pick that we're using in the top 10 this year. Is it, you know, like we're not going to get another top 10 pick for the Oklahoma City Thunder for a long time unless it's from a different team. And that's where it's going to be exciting because we have so many unprotected first round draft picks that any of these teams fuck up and something happens, you know, we're going to be able to capitalize on that stuff.
And they always fuck up and something always happens. So it just has to happen at the right time. And like the Houston Rockets pick last year, right? They were bad at the right year. They were just a little too bad. So in the end, the timing will come up. I think when we're deep in the playoffs, you know, one of these long-term investments is going to turn into pure gold. And that's when people will start complaining, right? They'll be like, that's scary. How could a team that made it to the Western Conference Finals end up with a top four pick? You know, that's where it gets really exciting. So, yeah, we're playing the long game on this, but it's definitely fun to watch. And thinking about the team 4 to 5 years from now, being in that position and drafting players that we hope will be role players on that team, you know, or more potentially, but you know, players that buy into the system and are going to work hard for their time here. And that's what we like about Jeremy Sochan, or I don't know how to say his name, dude, but whatever.
It's Polish, so it has to be something awesome.
All right. So we appreciate everybody joining us in spite of our poetry, and we're going to see you guys on Friday. So thanks again. And as always, this episode was brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief.